Certainly is a bit nervous up here. If at any stage I happen to lose my place, don't be worried. I know absolutely nothing about Peppa Pig world. And if that's over your head, check out the Prime Minister. I want you to turn this evening in the Word of God to John chapter 3. Probably the best known verse in the Bible. John 3, 16, 17 and 18. And once the year the leaves stop, we'll read. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. I could probably sit down now and say nothing, because the Word of God is very clear. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. I'll just have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we just pray now, Lord, that thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, would have all the glory. Amen. Well, my name is Richard Allen. I'm a Cumberman, born and bred. And I think when Adele was up, she talked about having, I think, four generations, at least, of Hamiltons. I'm sure there's more. My father was doing our family history tree, and I think we're up there somewhere as well, probably fourth generation in this area. I think our original family probably came from the Clinchy area. An interesting fact, my birth year coincided with the opening of Disney World in Florida, so you can Google that at some stage. I don't have to go into any more detail. I was born in the Royal Maternity, and I recall my mother informing me there was plenty of explosions going off the night that I was born. So that gives you a rough idea probably what era it was. I was raised not far from here. Actually, today when we're out and giving out the calendars, happened to walk by my old house up the Dyer Road in Cumber. I'm from a family of four, two younger brothers and a sister, and I'm often mistaken for the youngest brother. That was a joke. The youngest brother not take too well to that. I attended Cumber Primary School and then on to the local high school, which is now Nendrum College. I have to be honest, I'm certainly not known for being academic, though I was blessed to pass my ambulance exams and currently have a career as a paramedic. I was brought up in a good, stable home, not with the horses or the cows, where my mum was a full-time mum, a former hairdresser, who never lost her skills for the infamous bowl haircut. I'm sure some of you down there who were maybe blessed with that bowl haircut in the 80s or maybe 70s. Apologies, Mum. I know you're watching. My father was a policeman. And in those days, he was a civil servant because we weren't allowed to tell. Home life was good for us. Most of my time was obviously spent outside Turin, around the streets. And I don't really remember to getting up to no good, but I'm sure, aren't we all born in sin? So at some stage, I was up to no good with some of my friends. You know, memories for me of my time growing up were holidays spent in Ballycastle. What a place. We had this mobile holiday home. It had no running water. It had no electricity. It had an outside toilet with plenty of spiders in it and no lights. But I tell you what a holiday. What a great time. Do you know, in those days, as a kid growing up, I can honestly say there was no stress, no worries, no fears, no mobile phones, no Facebook, no Instagram, no TikTok, and no coronavirus. What was it like growing up in those days? Because I thought they were the best days. You know, time was spent where we're watching films on the video, the VHS video cassette. The recorders, goodness. We used to write letters to our pen pals. These days now you've got your emails and text messages. First TV I had in my bedroom was black and white. You know, even had an Atari video game. I loved the game Pac-Man. Isn't the Xbox and the PlayStation. Goodness, you can't get our kids off it these days. Mobile phones were invented. They were very expensive and I think probably as big as my Bible, weren't they? What games did we play in those days? Right in the playground. Hide and seek, leapfrog, tag. We had many board games. My father taught me to play chess. I ended up becoming the Cumber Primary School chess champion. But that's another story. We had the Space Hopper, the Rally Chopper bicycle. I was fortunate enough to have a Rally Grifter, so it was. The Rubik's Cube, wasn't it released? And the Galaxy Spinner. Is this bringing you, some of you back anyway? Maybe some of you who were born in the 80s, 70s. And then, did you know that Concorde in 1976 was the fastest plane? Commercial flight. In 1977, I think it was, I dressed up as an Indian with a hatchet because it was the Queen's Silver Jubilee and we had a big party on our street. That's a wee bit of what it was like for me growing up in the 70s and 80s. Good times. Innocent times. I remember actually being in Cumber Primary School. It was one of their anniversaries recently, and I had a really good teacher there, Miss Mabin. And she was a Christian teacher, and I remember when I got saved telling her, and she was so pleased. And I was in with her probably about 10 or 15 years ago, and she just happened to mention, you know, that nowadays, trying to get kids interested in things, you know, the kids don't have any imagination, they don't have any creativity. And it was a struggle to be a teacher. But in these days when I was born, goodness, the best of times. I lived in number 12 Lindley Drive up at Dower Road. And my two best friends, one was number 8, one was number 14 right beside me. I didn't have too far to travel to see them. One was a year above me in school, and the other in my class throughout primary school and high school. These two guys were to play a big part in growing up and eventually also in my newfound faith in Jesus Christ. I was never out of their houses. In those days, everybody's house was open. And if you ask their parents, I was the adopted child. Apparently, I was a very inquisitive child and liked to ask a few thousand questions or so on a daily basis. They were always glad to see me. I always think of my next door neighbour, Len Ball. Some of you might know Len. He's a roofing tradesman. I never couldn't stop asking Len enough questions, question after question after question. Goodness. Sadly, I don't have much recollection of a big Christian church influence in my earliest years. I remember attending a local Sunday school and very quickly determined this is not for me. I can't even remember the draw of sweets or food or whatever to entice me. And I was then so thankful that my sister was of the same mind. So Sunday school only lasted a very short time. My best friend's mother, number 8 Linley Drive, was a lady called Georgie Gibson, or Ina. In the late 1970s, Georgie had attended a gospel meeting in the Martyrs Memorial Church in Belfast, and she had given her life back to the Lord Jesus Christ. She was a restored backslider who had a fresh vision and love for the lost. She became a fisher of men, and no more so than her own family and neighbours. I was never out of her house, as her son David was my best friend. I go on to a new hope. In September of 1980, Georgie invited me and her son to a gospel mission which was taking place in Cumber Baptist Church. Unknown to me, a well-known preacher, Pastor Mullen, was the evangelist. He was from Lurgan, I believe. Many souls were won for Christ during that mission. And recently, Albert Rutherford here, who was my Sunday school teacher in the Baptist, sent me a copy of Pastor Mullen's testimony. And it brought so many memories back just watching it, because I believe it was probably around the same time I got saved. Truthfully, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, it was alien to me. It was foreign to me. My only recollection of church was one of get me out of here, or I'm not going there. I had no desire for the things of God. My knowledge of God and his son Jesus Christ was seasonal. Christmas, Easter, presents, chocolate. I knew nothing of him personally. I don't recall hearing the gospel until this time in my life. Just at this point, I wonder, can I point this out? Young people from a Christian home, count it a real privilege to be born and raised in a Christian home. And Christian parents, oh, that we would ensure our children are covered with prayer and taught God's word young in life. 2 Timothy 3:15 says, and that from a child thou wast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. I ended up one evening, as I say, at the gospel mission with David and his mum. I was just short of my 10th birthday. I've given away my age now. There are certain times in people's lives they witness something or are caught up in some incident, and the saying is they are never the same again. Well, this was certainly the case for me. You know, God's word is alive and it's active. In Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I want to just tell you how I came to Christ through a hymn. It's not that I didn't come to Christ through this hymn, but this hymn will tell you about how I came to Christ. It was written by a Scottish minister. His name was Robert Murray McShane. He was from the Dundee area. He was a godly evangelical pastor and evangelist with a great love for the souls of men, women, boys and girls. He died at the age of 29. And it is said more was wrought by him that will last for eternity than most accomplish in a lifetime. After his death, a fellow minister wrote, "For I never knew one so instant in season and out of season, so impressed with the invisible realities, and so faithful in reproving sin and witnessing for Christ." As I say, he was a hymn writer also. And maybe some of the boys at the back will put this hymn. And this hymn means a lot to me. "I once was a stranger to grace and to God." And if I can just tie this hymn with the night I got saved. That's up. That's good. That night as I sat under the ministry of the preaching of the gospel in Cumber Baptist Church, I began to realize that something was working within me. Now I know it was God the Holy Spirit. And even as a young boy, I was alarmed and aware of my sinfulness before an almighty God. I was under conviction. McShane sums it up very well. "I once was a stranger to grace and to God. I knew not my danger and felt not my load. Though friends spoke in rapture of Christ on the tree, Jehovah Sekenu was nothing to me." Jehovah Sekenu is the Lord our righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ. I was a stranger. Romans 3, verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." As a result of Adam's sin in the Garden of Eden, mankind has been separated from God. "I knew not my danger and felt not my load." James 1 and verse 15 says, "Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." 1 John 1, verse 8 says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." I once was a stranger to grace and to God. I knew not my danger and felt not my load. Though friends spoke in rapture of Christ on the tree, Jehovah Sekenu was nothing to me. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:24, "Who in his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes he were healed." I wonder, when you read this verse, does it mean anything to you? Are you a stranger? Do you know your danger? Does Christ mean anything to you? And the next verse goes on, "Like tears from the daughters of Zion that roll, I wept when the waters went over his soul. Yet thought not that my sins had nailed to the tree. Jehovah Sekenu, 'twas nothing to me." As the meeting progressed, the Holy Spirit was revealing things to me from God's word: my sin, my danger, and Christ's reason for the cross. The Bible says in Romans 5, verse 8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." The next verse says, "When free grace awoke me by light from on high, then legal fear shook me, I trembled to die. No refuge, no safety in self could I see. Jehovah Sekenu, my Saviour, must be." The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6 and 2, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation." In John 3 and 18 it says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Has free grace awoken you? Have you ever shook and trembled, knowing that there's no refuge and no safety in self? I wonder, have you ever been at that stage? At the end of the meeting, a gospel appeal was made to anyone who wanted to be saved. Having never experienced this before, I sat in my chair. I was fearful, convicted and burdened, and now knowing it was sin. Even as a young boy, I was fully aware of the dangers of rejecting Christ. Matthew 27 and 22, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" My friend who was at the meeting with me approached me. I think the two of us were in two different areas in the meeting. And he says to me, "Well, what are you doing?" He too had come under conviction. And he came to me, "What are you doing?" And you know, I just thanked the Lord that both of us were given deciding grace. We left our seats, made our way to the pastor's room, and told him we wanted to be saved. You know, he was delighted to see us and was so encouraged that two young lives wanted God's free salvation. They talked about the 2.5 people who were saved that night, and we sort of looked and didn't understand, because he seen our lives as a full life and someone older just half a life. But let me tell you, regardless of age, give your life to Christ. We were shown through God's word how we could be saved, and in simple childlike faith in prayer we repented of our sins and accepted Jesus Christ as our own and personal Saviour. I think the next verse. "My terrors all vanished before the sweet name, my guilty fears banished. With boldness I came to drink at the fountain, life-giving and free. Jehovah, say, can you, is all things to me." Acts 3:19, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." To this day, I can remember the joy and peace in my heart that I was now a child of God. I was excited, and I remembered the evangelist encouraging us to go and tell others. Tell your family, tell your friends the good news. Now, bear in mind, I wasn't from a Christian home, so the term saved and born again were not only alien to me, but to the rest of my family also. I arrived at home and told my mum, and she was pleased for me. I remember being so happy. I went into the kitchen and done the dishes. You know, things became new for me. I told my classmates and neighbours around me, I had a desire for the things of God. I enjoyed all aspects of church life, Sunday school, later the youth fellowship, and the desire to learn and recite God's word and learn the catechism. I was attending the Baptist Sunday school, and Albert was one of my Sunday school teachers. I travelled to Ballygown Free Church when it opened. Even as a child, I was hungry for the things of God. I was by no means an angel, but was aware of sin. And when I had done wrong, and I knew it. It's amazing when you get saved, you know. I was zealous to tell others, sometimes overzealous. My friends, well, the name Thumper was known to me, not for hitting people, but maybe a Bible thumper. But you know, I look back now and often long for some of that fearless witness, you know, as a new convert. Wouldn't it be great to be known as a thumper today? You know, really? As I grew in grace, I was blessed to not be on my own, as I had my best friend. And not many years after that, another best friend from number 14 who gave his life to Christ. We held ourselves accountable and encouraged one another. God gave us the desire to attend the weekly prayer meeting in Ballygown Free. And we were fortunate to get a lift for many years with our brother Sam Douglas, who attended here. Sam was so good to us. And then Sam attended. He was in Ballygown, and then Sam came to Cumber here too, Sam and Kay and Karen. Young people, we need you. God needs you. He needs you in the house of prayer. So he does. I remember the three of us standing down the Dara Road as teenagers with our Bibles under our arms and in our best Sunday dress. No concerns, no worries, no fears. Unreal when I think of it. We were blessed and God was good to us. We met new Christian friends and we got involved in setting up the original after youth rallies on Sunday nights that later became a great encouragement to many of our Christian young people, not only within the Free Church but across the different evangelical churches. I also met my wife through the church and now I have two big teenagers who keep me right at home. Growing in the Christian faith has seen challenging and difficult times, there is no doubt. God is always wanting the best from us and shaping us to be more like his son. John 15 says, "Abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing." Abiding in Christ is the key to a successful Christian life. It'll not always be plain sailing and rosy, but you'll produce fruit which will be pleasing to God, and that's all that matters. Isn't it? I mean, nothing in this world matters. Matthew 6 and 33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness and all these things shall be added unto you. Set your affections on the things above, not on the things in this earth." I've experienced many wilderness periods in my Christian walk, and I've struggled at times seeing God's hand in it. When I reflect back, I see these bitter experiences where the Lord has purged me and chastised me sore because he's a jealous God and he cannot have his children walk unworthy or in sin. One particular time, I even doubted the existence of God. I was fearful and very unhappy. I couldn't see any light at the end of any tunnel. I yearned to hear the voice of God. I was still attending church, but was in a deep valley experience. I remember being away on a camping trip up the north coast, pleading with the Lord just to speak to me. I was at my wit's end. I'd fallen asleep with my Bible open, and when I came round at the early hours of the morning, it was opened. The place was so quiet. And it was opened at Psalm 17, verse 3. "Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shall find nothing." In the center column of the Bible, that verse then went to Isaiah 43, verse 1. "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine." That also then pointed me to Job 23, verse 10. "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Oh, the speaking voice of God. Unbelievable. Do you know his word is more precious than ever? I was never a good reader, but I've realized that only a disciplined Christian walk brings true happiness. Prayer and Bible study are the means how the disciplined Christian feeds his life. For too long in my life, I was a malnourished believer, struggled with habitual sin. I was lukewarm. And the purging process, though painful, proves his presence in your life. Abiding in Christ brings forth fruit, some hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Be encouraged, fellow Christian. Sometimes when you're in that dark place, you think you've been buried. But really, you've been planted and you'll begin to grow. Persevere. Be resilient. I've seen this comment recently. Be an iceberg Christian Whatever you're called to do, the bit above the surface, needs to be built on a lifetime of preparation, growth, character, learning, and reliance on God, the mass under the surface. Keep your foundations right. God has blessed me through my work as a paramedic. I'm seeing many people in their most desperate times. Families mourning the death or serious injury or illness of loved ones. I meet people daily at their lowest times of life struggling as a result of addictions or mental health. I just pray that my faith and hope would be evident in my walk and witness in the workplace. I remember one time I was bringing an elderly lady in from a nursing home. She was a dementia patient, and she was very agitated about going anywhere, never mind going to hospital. But I happened to notice in her, I think it was in her wee room, that there was Bible texts and all over the place. So as I got in the back of the ambulance, I was aware of her humming. And it was a hymn, and I knew the hymn. So I started singing it, and then she started singing. And the whole way in from Donegal, we were singing one hymn after another. And you know something, it just... I think my colleague in the front didn't, she hadn't a clue what was going on, but you know, it's so relaxed, that wee lady, it was unbelievable, you know. And recently I had someone who was at a really low point in their life in the back of the ambulance, and they asked me, would I pray? So I was sitting thinking, pray? I thought they meant maybe at some stage, no, pray now. I want you to pray now. Pray now, let's pray now. Goodness. So there we were, praying in the back of the ambulance. And I've heard some good reports back. Some people who have addictions. I have a good friend who works with, he's a believer, but he works with AA. I've put people in contact with him, and he's come back to me to say that, you know, thank you for putting those people in touch with me. And they're getting on well, and we just trust that even they would, as a result of it, even come to Christ. I've met other believers in the workplace. I have a very good relationship with friends of mine who are firefighters, who are involved in a group called Firefighters for Christ. I have other friends in the Christian Police Officers Association. Pray that God would move within the members of these organizations, even at this time, and that as we as believers would take every opportunity to share the gospel. I'm nearly finished. We'll look at the last verse. Sorry. Even tread in the valley, the shadow of death, this watchword shall rally my faltering breath. For while from life's fever, my God sets me free. Jehovah, say, can you, my death song shall be. Tonight, what will your death song be? Is it your good works? Is it your church attendance? Is it your baptism, your confirmation? Or is it something else? Jehovah say, can you, my death song shall be. The gospel is plain and simple that even a child can understand. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Bible tells us to repent. Turn. Turn from your sin. Turn from the way you're going. Trust Christ and be saved. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God's word is true. He cannot lie. Hebrews 13:5. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Unsaved, unbeliever, tonight, what will you do with Jesus?
I'd just like to take this opportunity to thank sincerely our brother Richard for that very open and honest testimony. And I know that folks have been sharing their testimony with us over this past while. And you will notice that some have different backgrounds and some have come through different means and ways. While there's only one way to heaven, through the Lord Jesus Christ, there are many paths that take us to the cross. Some come to Christ late in life. Some come early in life, as our brother Richard did. I was really taken personally with the fact that someone invited a 10-year-old to a gospel mission. We would think of an elderly person. We would think of someone in more senior years. But who would think of inviting a 10-year-old to a gospel meeting? There might even be parents who wouldn't even bring a 10-year-old, even as Christians, to a gospel meeting. I think we should be encouraged tonight that we should bring our children as best we can. I know some have schooling, some need to get to their beds. We know that, we understand that when they're very young. But certainly, our brother Richard was brought to a gospel mission as a 10-year-old and brought savingly to Christ in that meeting. God spoke to his heart. In fact, two of them were brought that night. And they were saved by God's sovereign grace. And we want to thank Richard for coming along tonight. We certainly did enjoy that testimony. It was very open and humble and honest. And you can't beat the real thing. The counterfeit is out there. There's no doubt whenever the Lord does a work, the devil has his counterfeit. It's out there. And you can look at it. You can find it. And you can see the hypocrisy. You can see it all, but I want to tell you, when there's a counterfeit, it means that the real thing must exist. You can't counterfeit something that doesn't exist. Whether in the material world, they talk about counterfeit goods. It's just a replica of the real thing. It's not the real thing, but it's just like it. Well, the Lord has done a real work, a definite work, in the lives of those who have come to testify. And it's the real thing, and you can't beat the real thing. You can argue, and you can fight against the belief in God, but you cannot deny the real thing. You can't deny it. And we've had the real thing tonight and in these meetings. And I want you to think not only about the testimony, I want you to think right now about your soul. And that soul of yours needs to be saved. It needs to be converted. And God has spurred you. He no doubt called some in this house when you were 10 years of age. And those that are listening on the World Wide Web, some of you were called in teenage years and you're still out of Christ without a Saviour. And as yet you haven't come to Christ and you know you need to be saved. Now what keeps you back? What's holding you back tonight? Young person, older person, what keeps you back from coming to Christ? And Brother Richard, I feel, has said everything that's been needed to be said in this meeting. And there's no need for me to preach or prolong the meeting, but certainly to give the appeal and to throw out the invitation and to say to you as a sinner, you can come. Just as Richard and his friend did, at boys of 10 years of age, they came to Christ. They were saved when they were young and their whole life before them. But as he did mention, you know, you may have gone on in years and you've wasted so much of your life, and yet the Lord can still save you and he can give you eternal life if you'll only come to him tonight, if you only trust him. And I leave you with a text that our brother gave at the very start. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. 25 words. And yet, one of the most familiar verses of Holy Scripture. He couldn't have gone to a better portion tonight. Couldn't have started his testimony on a better text of Scripture. 25 words, and yet it has been used throughout the ages. Hundreds of years. Used of God. I want to tell you there are millions in heaven tonight saved through that text of Scripture. And I trust tonight you'll come. And you'll see that whosoever means you. And you will see the love of God in Christ. And the shedding of his blood. And his finished work at Calvary. And a risen Saviour who calls you now to repentance and to faith in Christ. That you'll come tonight. And you'll trust the Lord. If the Lord has been speaking to you. If the Lord is speaking to you now in this meeting, and you know you're not right with God, you may be, even as our brother Richard said, going through a difficult time, maybe a dark time in your life, maybe you're at a distance from the Lord and you would like to get back to the Lord again. Well, you can talk to our brother, one of the elders, myself, whoever you feel comfortable with. Or if you just want to bow your own head and heart now, or go home and just tonight get the matter settled. But make sure, whether it's a backslider or a sinner, make sure you settle the matter. And you either come back to the Lord or else you come to the Lord. Whatever it means, I trust that you tonight will settle the matter with God between you and the Saviour. So we thank you, Richard, sincerely for sharing your testimony. We really do mean that, and we thoroughly enjoyed that. May God richly bless you and your family. Loving Father, we thank thee for this evening. We thank thee for what our ears have heard. We bless thee, Lord, for McShane's great hymn, and basing the testimony on that great hymn, and how it has given expression to words that of ourselves we could never have formed. And we thank thee and praise thee, Lord, that he could say in past tense, I once was a stranger to grace and to God. But now he's in Christ, and he's no longer a stranger, but a child of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. We thank thee, O God, and praise thee, that he's redeemed by precious blood. He's no longer at a distance, but made nigh through the finished work and shed blood of Christ. And we pray for those who in this meeting house, they are still strangers to grace and God. And they don't feel their danger. And they don't even know that load of sin that's upon them. And they've no righteousness before God. And we pray that this night, the Spirit will take that which has been of himself and back at home and burn it in and bless it to every heart. For those of us who were saved, and may we live for Christ as we've been exhorted to, and may we seek first the kingdom of God. And for those out of Christ without a Saviour, draw them in repentance and faith, we pray, to the Lord Jesus tonight. And Father, for those who perhaps are cold at heart, and they don't have to broadcast it, they don't have to speak to us about it, we're not a priest in confession. Lord, between them and you, we pray that they will settle the matter, and they'll get back on a right standing and fitting with God. So hear our prayer tonight. Take of our thanks for these testimonies. Back them home and bless them, we pray. And loving Father, we do pray you'll remember thy servant, our brother Richard. Pray for Heather and the family. We commend them lovingly to thee. We pray you'll watch over them and keep them safe. Remember thy servant especially in the work that he has to do and these opportunities that come his way. We pray, Lord, as he makes good use in the gospel with wisdom and with help from heaven, that you will bless and encourage and use him in these days. So continue with us now and take of our thanks in Jesus' precious and most worthy name. Amen. And amen.